वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 37 Instructions for civilized human beings. Yai sva deha smrito anatma. Martyo vitkrimi basmavat. Tan enam atma sad kritva. Slagyanti hi asattamaha yai svadeha smrito natma martyo vitkrimi basmavat tan enam atmasat kritva Slagyanti hi asattamaha. Mataji's, please. Yai, by sannyasis who swadeha, own body, smrita, consider, anatma, different from the soul, martya, subjected to death, with, becoming stool, krimi, worms, Basmavat, or ashes. Te, such persons. Enam, this body. Atmasat kritva, again identifying with the self. Slagayanti, glorify as very important. He, indeed. Asattamaha, the greatest rascals. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Sannyasis who first consider that the body is subject to death when it will be transformed into stool, worms or ashes, but who again give importance to the body and glorify it as the self, are to be considered the greatest rascals. Purport. A sannyasi is one who has clearly understood through advancement in knowledge that Brahman, he, the person himself, is the soul, not the body. One who has this understanding may take sannyas, for he is situated in the aham brahmasmi position. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na sochati na kangshati. Such a person who no longer laments or hankers to maintain his body and who can accept all living entities as spirit soul can enter the devotional service of the Lord. If one does not enter the devotional service of the Lord but artificially considers himself Brahman or Narayana, not perfectly understanding that the soul and the body are different, one certainly falls down, patanti adaha. Such a person again gives importance to the body. There are many sannyasis in India who stress the importance of the body. Some of them give special importance to the body of the poor man, accepting him as Daridra Narayana, as if Narayana had a material body. Many other sannyasis stress the importance of the social position of the body as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or sudra. Such sannyasis are considered the greatest rascals, asattamaha. They are shameless because they have not yet understood the difference between the body and the soul and instead have accepted the body of a brahmana to be a brahmana. Brahmanism, Brahmanya, consists of the knowledge of Brahman. But actually the body of a Brahmana is not Brahman, is not Brahman. Similarly, the body is neither rich nor poor. If the body of a poor man were Daridra Narayana, this would mean that the body of a rich man, on the contrary, must be Dani Narayana. Therefore, sannyasis who do not know the meaning of Narayan, those who regard the body as Brahman or as Narayan, are described here as asattama, the most abominable rascals. Following the bodily concept of life, such sannyasis make various programs to serve the body. They conduct farcical missions consisting of so-called religious activities meant to mislead all of human society. These sannyasis have been described here as apatrapa and asattamaha, shameless and fallen from spiritual life. Om Agyanatimurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Deva Amrita Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarane. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauru Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. So, Prabhupada is called Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desitarine for a reason. We can see how he is so heavy with the impersonalistic understanding against Mayavad understanding. Prabhupada is writing how clearly the real business of sannyasi is devotional service. If there's no devotional service, you're sure to fall down. Prabhupada said it like three times. couple of years ago, I was visiting this Ahobilam temples, where there are so many self-manifested Narsingadev deities, and the Ugrastamba, where Narsingadev came out, the pillar is still there. I went with a group of, you know, relatives. These are all like Sri Vaishnava Brahmins. They had their big tilak and they wouldn't even wear a shirt and like this. Anyway, we were walking up the hill and one of my uncles, he asked me about the Sankaracharya. Because in Kanchipuram, there is this math. This is this Sankaracharya's mission. And there were three descendants of Sankaracharya, they were living there. And they were so popular, so huge. I mean, every day there were like tens and thousands of people standing in line to see them, just to see them. And they would give little prasad and that's it. And they were like military and police guarding them. It was so powerful. And one of them got involved in a murder case. I mean, this shook all of South India. You know, all the atheists were like celebrating and they were saying, just see, you know, this is all bogus. And all the pious people, like even my uncle who was Sri Vaishnava, but you know, he was drinking coffee and listening to commentary, see what the cricket match is, you know, where it's at. He was like really missing it and he was all the way in Ahobilam tuning into the cricket station. And he was pious, but he didn't know anything about like the difference between the teachings of Ramanujacharya, which he was supposed to represent, and the teachings of Sankaracharya. So he was like, he said, this question is puzzling me. Can I ask you confidentially? I said, sure. He said, how could such a great Mahatma be involved in a murder case? I mean, where is God? Where is God when this kind of things happen? So many people are losing their faith. And this is exactly what Prabhupada is saying in every page. If you're not a devotee, patanti ada, anadrita yushmadangraya, avishuddha buddhaya, Brahma says, because they artificially think themselves to be liberated, but they're not, because they don't have any sadhana. Prabhupada says the first snare of Maya is to think that you're the body. The last snare of Maya is to think that you're God. So all these personalities, they don't know any real conclusion of the Vedas, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And they're just like so popular and they have so much money, and the politicians, they're like, they're friends with like the ministers and they have bodyguards and military and people are bowing down and waiting in line for hours to see him. They're just falsely proud. And then they're busy in politics and banking and feeding the poor. And all of a sudden something happens. Sure to happen. Because they have no higher taste. But Prabhupada is saying here, a real sannyasi is one who is fully engaged in a devotional service. Like when Prabhupada was asked by newly initiated sannyasi disciples about the duty of a sannyasi, Prabhupada simply said, just study the life of the six Goswamis. Just study them carefully. And Prabhupada quoted this verse, famous prayers to the six Goswamis. Tyaktva Thurnama Shesha Mandalapati Sinim Sadatu Chavat. Bhutva Dina Ganeshako Karunaya Kopina Kantasritu. Gopi Bhavara Samritap Tilahari Kalola Magno Muru. Vande Rupa Sanatano Ragujigo Sri Jiva Gopalaku. So we can study the life of the Goswamis. And basically they gave up everything as insignificant, like tuchavat, to show mercy and compassion to the fallen souls. Dina Ganeshako Karunaya. And when we study the life and teachings of Raghunath Goswami, one of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, six Goswamis, he was actually our Prayojana Acharya. He had such an exalted position. But he was so humble. As we all know, he kept running away from home because he was tired and of all this entanglement. And his mother was, Raghunath Das Goswami's mother said to his father, "Why don't you tie him up or something? You know, he keeps running away. This has become a daily affair." And the father said, "You know, he's got a wife like a demigod, demigoddess, and he's got opulence like Indra, and he's the only, you know, person that's going to inherit all these, you know, lakhs and crores of rupees. And if these things can't tie him, what's a rope going to do?" So he kept running away. Anyway, he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted him under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami asked Swarup Damodar to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "So can you please ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what's the duty of somebody in the renounced order of life?" So they both went together. And Swarup Damodar Goswami humbly asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Oh, actually Raghunath Das is here and he has a question. He gave up, he renounced everything, but now he wants to know what's the real point of a sannyasi." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being so humble and exemplary, he said, "Raghunath, you don't need to ask me. You can just ask Swarup Damodar. He knows much more than me. But because you approach me through Swarup Damodar and you didn't directly approach me, follow the Vaishnava etiquette, I will answer your question." And Mahaprabhu told him that first thing is no Gramya Katha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, no Gramya Katha means village talk. No gossiping or no listening to people gossiping. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the gossip topics that are minimizing other Vaishnavas and blaspheming and talking things that are unrelated to Krishna, that's like a prostitute that steals one's inclination to serve Krishna. So important, first instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because when we want to speak, when we want to minimize, criticize, our mouth waters just like when you see a pickle. You're like salivating, you know. Similarly, when you want to talk about another person, really I've been thinking, as like I don't talk bad about my guru, but the tendency is I would talk, you know, desire to talk bad about my guru's god brother. So I was just thinking, just like even if I see, many times I see something, you know, that's like, you know, may not really agree, or I don't really like the style of the guru, how he does things. But you don't say anything because we're just menial servants. You just take a humble position and think that he's representative of God, and then that way that the critical thought goes away. So I've been trying that lately, to think like that about all gurus, god brothers, not you know, be quick to judge and speak bad. So that's very important, because as soon as we speak bad about senior devotees, then the inclination to serve Krishna, it dries up, our spiritual life becomes difficult. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the second instruction. He said, don't eat palatable dishes and don't dress very luxuriously, he told him. Simplicity. Like Prabhupada would often say, eat to serve. Whatever amount you need to get the energy to serve, eat that much. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him this instruction. So the idea is to dress simply, but we have to be like neat and clean. Sometimes we have this understanding we shouldn't dress luxuriously, and then, you know, we look so, you know, like homeless. Like people look at us and they're so confused. What these guys are about, especially America. In India, they will understand you're a sadhu. I remember this in the train, these gay people, they have this community of them in India. They're so tall, they're half man, half woman. And they come in the train begging money, and everybody gives them, otherwise they embarrass them. They will grab your private part of the body, or they will do something really embarrassing in public, so everybody give them money. But you're dressed in saffron, they don't even make eye contact with you. They just like completely turn around, go the other side. So in India, they understand. But in the West, it's very difficult for people to understand if you don't dress nice and clean. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's third instruction was this famous sloka, Amanina Manadena. And he said, do not expect respect from others, but give others all respect. And constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And he told Raghunath the fourth instruction, and always be in your mind constantly thinking about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Actually, these instructions are very much in order. We don't speak prajalpa, we control senses, we live simply, we give respects to others, chant Hare Krishna, and then we can understand Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when his disciples were going to Germany, they asked him, like, how to be successful, you know, presenting Krishna consciousness in the West. And he said this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahisnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. He told them that, you know, be more tolerant than a tree, humbler than a blade of grass. Give all respect to others, don't expect anything for yourself. In that state of mind, you should chant the holy names constantly. So we can see, it's actually forbidden in this age of Kali. Five things are forbidden. Aswamedham gavalambam sanyasam palapaitrikam devarena sutapatir Kalau Pancha Vivarjayat. It says there are five things actually forbidden in Kali Yuga to perform cow sacrifice, to perform horse sacrifice, to take sannyas, to offer flesh as a sacrifice to the demigods, to beget children from your brothers. These things are forbidden in Kali Yuga. But Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and, you know, all our acharyas, they gave sannyas for the purpose of assisting them in this great mission. Prabhupada gave sannyas, and he was actually very proud of his sannyas disciples. He was so happy. Because Prabhupada preached over like 45 years in India. But then in few years' time in the West, he was having so much success, so he was so grateful to America and American boys and girls. I heard even one time Prabhupada went on the ground and kissed the land of America. He was so grateful. So he was very proud of his sannyas disciples, because they were actually very free to travel and preach. No other concern, no other responsibility, except to be the compassion of the instrument of compassion of the acharyas. And of course, we know Prabhupada also took risk, and he gave sannyas to many unqualified people, and many fell. And Prabhupada said, don't be surprised, you know, who leaves, be surprised who stays. Because if we forget, no matter what ashram we are in, if we forget the basics is four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds nicely. If we forget these things, then we can fall. Just the ashram is, you know, being in a certain ashram is not going to protect us. Even we see in the pastimes of Bharat Maharaj, he was in the level of bhava platform. He fell down with a deer. And you can see like Chitraketu. Such an exalted person, he became a demon in his next life. Of course, a special devotee demon, but still he got cursed. And it's explained in Krishna book how Sabari Muni, he was meditating under the water for thousands of years. He just saw fish mating and then he gave up. So there's so many instances, even in this Bhagavatam verse, it's condemning people who are doing that. That means it happened back then as well. It's not like it's happening now. Of course, it happens more now because it's Kali Yuga. But the chances are always there. But like they say, you know, if a professor makes a mistake, that doesn't mean you close down the whole university. Because if a professor makes a mistake, you know, that happens, but that's not the fault of the university. Similarly, if somebody falls down in Krishna consciousness, in ISKCON, that doesn't mean that, you know, this process doesn't work. It's just those individuals were weak. It's like I remember one time I was distributing books at the airport, and then I was distributing with this one devotee, and I was actually talking to a passenger, somebody who's about to catch the flight, and he wanted a book that I didn't have, but there was a devotee right next to me. He had the book. So that devotee overheard the conversation. He came over and gave the book to this lady, and she gave him $20. And then the lady left. So being a Sankirtan devotee, I'm looking at him like, you're not gonna give me anything? Like, that was my customer, you know. I was just gonna borrow a book from you and reimburse you, but why you took the donation as well? And he's arguing, no, it's your fault, you are not prepared. Sankirtan means you have to be prepared. And the Christian janitor walks by and she goes, oh, meditation doesn't work, guys. She's like, she's so envious, she wanted this opportunity to say, you know, how our process doesn't work. So it doesn't mean our process don't work. It's just some individuals are weak that, you know, we lose our footing. It's like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was even concerned with Lord Chaitanya. You're like in your early 20s and you look so beautiful. I'm so concerned for your sannyas because unless you study the Vedanta very carefully, you're going to fall down. So he wanted to show compassion to Lord Chaitanya like a father and teach him Vedanta. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being so humble, he heard him out for 7 days without saying a word. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, you know, do you understand or you don't understand? You don't say anything for 7 days. What's going on? And Lord Chaitanya said, I understand Vedanta very clearly. It's like, you know, broad daylight. But your interpretation of Vedanta, I don't understand. It's like a cloud covering the sunshine. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to him the Atmarama verse in so many different ways. It just blew his mind. So even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was concerned. How is this young man going to, you know, last in his sannyas ashram? So unless we are selfless, and we are engaged in the mission of giving Krishna to others, whatever ashram we are in, it's not going to last. Very soon we'll become like distracted. It's like this Sri Vaishnava Guru. This one disciple approached this Sri Vaishnava Guru and asked him for sannyas. And the Guru was surprised, like, what qualification you have, you're asking me for sannyas? And he said, oh, Guru Maharaj, my wife died recently and I didn't even cry one drop of tear, so I think I'm qualified. So the Guru said, oh, you hard-hearted nonsense. I instruct you that you get married and learn to cry. And then you come back, I'll give you sannyas. Because sannyas means you're simply crying for the whole world, crying for everybody's welfare. People have so many misunderstandings what a sannyasi means. I remember when I first went to this preaching center of my Guru Maharaj in Wellington, New Zealand, I went with my sister and I was listening. You know, I never heard anybody present. I mean, I never heard a Krishna conscious lecture first time. It was amazing. It made so much sense, and my Guru Maharaj was speaking. And then on the way back, my sister is driving, my elder sister that lives in Australia. She said, "Oh, actually, he's not a good sannyasi," she says. And I'm like, "What do you mean?" She said, "I saw him wearing socks." I'm like, "Didn't you hear anything he had to say?" She said, "No, as soon as I saw him wearing socks, I couldn't listen to him. Because I could only think that he's wearing a valuable, like a fancy socks." Because I said, "What's wrong? It's freezing." I was wearing like two socks myself. And she's like, "No, if you're a sannyasi, you're not supposed to wear these things." She confused me with her like misunderstanding of what a sannyasi means. So I had to go back and clear it with the devotees, and they explained to me, you know, how, you know, everything can be used in Krishna's service. So sannyasa ashram means complete dedication to the mission of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's like recently we had Christmas, like one of Christ's famous sayings is that you can have only one master, he would say to his people that come to him. You can't have, either you love God or you love mammon. You can, in other words, you can't serve Maya and you cannot serve Krishna. You have to choose one. And anybody, like Prabhupada would say, is as good as a sannyasi if they're following the regulative principles and giving their fruits of hard labor to Krishna and spreading Krishna consciousness. It's like Prabhupada was really proud of his disciples that went to England. Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Malati, Mataji, Yamuna. And they went, and Prabhupada said, you know, his sannyasi god brothers, disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they went to Germany and they couldn't do much. They came back, they took a few photos, they came back and said, "These people have no chance. They can't become Krishna conscious. They're just too addicted to sinful activities." But when Prabhupada's new disciples hardly had any money and they had like a, you know, infant with them and struggling so much, they established Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was so happy. Prabhupada gave them so much blessings. He would say they are as good as sannyasis. So it's a question of consciousness. It's like Ramanujacharya, he would give special mercy to this Grihastha disciple. And all his sannyasi disciples, they were like envious. So one of them approached Ramanujacharya and said, "You know, why are you giving so much mercy to this Grihastha?" And Ramanujacharya wanted to show them why. And then he made arrangements. He sent few brahmacharis to the house of this Grihastha couple. And just the Mataji disciple was there and she was sleeping. And the brahmachari disciples started taking away her jewelry. And she saw that, she can sense that these are brahmachari stealing. So what she did was, she actually turned around the other side so they can take the jewelry from the other side of her body. So the brahmacharis got scared and they thought, "Oh my God, she's waking up," so they ran away. So when the husband came, she told him, "I think our guru's ashram is struggling." And he says, "Why do you say that?" "Oh, because some of her god brothers actually came to steal jewelry." And the husband, the disciple, Dhanurdhar is named, Dhanurdas. He said, What did you do?" "Oh, I just turned around so they can take from my other side, you know, the earrings and bangles." They ran away. The husband started chastising her. "You nonsense, you're so attached to this gold that's like a yellow stool and you scared away my god brothers. Who asked you to help them? They could have taken the whole jewelry. You're so attached to material things." And Ramanujacharya was witnessing this exchange along with his sannyasi disciple, and they all put their head down in shame. Because earlier he made another instance where, like, you know, he just switched around all the kopins of the sannyasis and brahmacharis. When they take bath and they came back, they were fighting. Oh, you took my kopin, you took my gamcha, and they were fighting over. So he was just wanted to make a point that, you know, doesn't matter what ashram you're in, the question is the consciousness. You have to be a mahatma. And Prabhupada wanted us, whoever we are, sannyasis, it's like Jaipathag Maharaj, when he was here recently, I went to see him, and Gauda Chandra Prabhu mercifully introduced me. And Maharaj wanted to hear book distribution pastimes as he's taking prasad, and he was so into it. There was a devotee there, and this devotee had all kinds of questions bothering him. So I'm telling Sankirtan stories, Maharaj is having his meal peacefully, and the devotee goes, "Oh Guru Maharaj, what did he, Prabhupada say about playing harmonium in the bhajan, in the kirtan, during the arati?" Is going like, Maharaj said, "Shh. Only book distribution stories. Don't ask me anything that's going to give me indigestion." He was so into it. I mean, I was, you know, and he himself distributes books, and he told Prema Sankirtan and us how we should distribute as many books as possible so many people will get to know about Mayapur and they will come for the opening of the Vedic planetarium. He had a huge vision and he saw book distribution was so important. So whoever we are, sannyasis, brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, whoever we are, we have to show compassion and distribute books. It's like Sovas Prabhu, you know, we have to give all the credit for every book that goes out from LA because he's the real book distributor, real Maharati. Under his guidance and inspiration, we are distributing books. Because when you're distributing books, it's basically every living entity. I was thinking yesterday on book distribution, how every living entity is their rightful claim to engage in Krishna's service and go back to Godhead. They're entitled for this mercy. Just like when you go to get some laundry money from Mayapur, Prabhu, you press the bell and then say, "Prabhu, can I have some laundry money?" You don't feel bad. It's like, it's waiting, you know. Same thing. It's like every soul has so much potential and they're entitled for this mercy. So we basically just giving them their, you know, reminding them of their original consciousness. Today they may be thinking they are this or that, like Archita Prabhu gave a nice talk in the Bhakti house. You know, people are thinking today they are, you know, man, woman, black, white, rich, poor, Christian, this or that. But just by reading these books, you know, people have the opportunity to reawaken their Krishna consciousness. Just if they read, just like Archita Prabhu read, this Krishna Reservoir of Pleasure. This few pages immediately changed his life. Otherwise, you know, we don't have much to look forward to. I was reading how, I didn't mean to pick on Mataji's, but it said that average woman, they eat like about 2 kgs of lipstick in their life. Of course, we don't, you know, all the men also do so many things. But, you know, we like settle down for something like really like superficial, like really cheap. And we think we are very intelligent. Like so many people, because of Christianity doesn't have any scientific presentation, so many people are becoming atheists or using them as an example to think that there is nothing higher. There was actually this joke about this atheist. There was 3 people condemned to death, and one of them was a Jewish person. And the blade was about to cut his head, he was screaming, "Oh God, save me, save me." And just a few inches close to his neck, the blade stopped. So the executioner said, "Oh, you can go," you know. They released him, and there was another Christian guy they were going to chop off his head. He did the same thing. "Oh God, please help, please help." The blade stopped a few inches close to the neck and they let him go. And the atheist was about to be killed. The atheist is lying down examining the machine and he saw there was a small rock. And he said to the executioner, "Actually, it's not God that saved them. Actually, this little rock here that intervenes from the blade swinging in full force." So he removed the rock and lost his head. So most people think they're very intelligent, but they're applying it in a wrong time and circumstance. We have a world full of these people. So we have to give people this knowledge. Otherwise, we have nothing to look forward to: old age, disease, and death. Like Giriraj Swami said in one lecture, old age means you go to bed perfectly fine and then you wake up with a sports injury. So this is the material body, like Acharya was giving nice class yesterday. It's so fragile. It's simply meant to serve Krishna. So any questions or comments? Any corrections? Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Yeah, you were making that point about how people have a right to become Krishna conscious. So, ironically, I was just listening to a lecture last night and this morning. Prabhupada was saying that before he took sannyas, while he was still a grihastha, he was asked to give a lecture someplace on the subject of nonviolence. So he made the point that he said, "Well, violence, what violence is, if somebody has a right and you're preventing them from exercising their right, then that's violent." And he made the same point that you made. People have when you come to the human form of life, you have a right to become Krishna conscious. So anything or anybody that's preventing you from exercising that right, anything that's interfering with the human being's opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness is violence. So Prabhupada was making that same point in that lecture he gave. Nice point.
Thanks for the nice class, Prabhu. I was just wondering, try to preserve the culture of Krishna consciousness and, you know, in coming generations, how can we not follow blindly or not compromise our principles and yet at the same time not make offenses to people who, you know, are in, you know, certain positions or have taken up responsibility? You know, like, in other words, how could we sort of maintain, you know, standards in ISKCON, but at the same time not be fault finders?
I still didn't get it. Like, follow the standards in ISKCON and still not fault find?
How could we hold ourselves and, you know, hold each other accountable for representing Srila Prabhupada properly, and then, but at the same time, if somebody is, for instance, you know, like in the past, you were talking about, you know, gurus who would fall down, or, you know, sannyasis who would fall down. Yes, these are people who are taking a massive risk. You know, they're taking their a chance. You know, they're stepping out on a limb to try to do great service. But, you know, at the same time, they may not necessarily be doing it, you know, properly. I mean, should we just kind of allow that to continue, or should we say something as a form of service, or, you know, I mean, how would you? What would your idea about that be?
Yeah, like Prabhupada would say, the chances are that, you know, people will fall, but that doesn't mean there won't be anyone who's qualified. Like Prabhupada says, you know, you come across counterfeit money, that doesn't mean there's no real money. So there are people that are strictly following what Prabhupada gave. And we are actually spoiled in a sense. Our society is so big and we have so many amazing gurus that we forget to realize that's an amazing thing. In the whole world, there's nothing like this. We have like about 100 gurus at least. So some have fallen, some don't practice, some have come up with new things, but there are also people who are strictly following. Just like in our community, we have, you know, so many Prabhupada disciples following strictly what Prabhupada wanted, so we can take guidance from them. And also there are so many gurus, like Jayaprathak Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj. There's so many gurus who are also, you know, strictly following. So we can take shelter of one of them. Yes, Amala Bhakta Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you for a nice class, Shastra Krit Prabhu. In regard to this previous question, I just wanted to add something to what you had given. When a devotee sees a sannyasi or even the guru fall down, rather the mood and the feeling should be one of compassion and pity and not one of condemnation and hostility. And because that only increases or inflates the false ego that one has, which we're trying to destroy. In other words, when I'm saying, well, he has so many bad qualities, that's why, you know, he fell down. It may give me some delight and some pleasure to see somebody go down because indirectly or vicariously it may make me feel that I'm better, I'm bigger, because I'm not falling down, you see. This is one thing. So the thing that really we need to do is we need to look into ourselves and see many of our own faults, our impurities, our limitations before we begin to condemn others for having having faults and failings and wretched qualities. By seeing those, that will be constructive, those in ourselves, that will be constructive and useful because that way we can work to overcome them, and working to overcome them, we will actually overcome them. But in the process of overcoming and the difficulties that we have in trying to overcome them, we begin to develop this compassion and this understanding because we actually are experiencing the difficulties that come from overcoming weaknesses and failings and so forth. So therefore, though, that is a very important point to see our own faults. I think Jesus Christ, he mentioned, look at the dirt in your own eyes before you see the dirt in other people's eyes. And that way, when you get the dirt out of your own eyes, you may see something clearly instead of seeing it just from the point of view of you trying to make yourself more powerful, great, and grand, when actually you may be much inferior to that person who has fallen down.
Thank you so much. In Mahabharata, it actually says, if somebody makes a mistake and you talk about it, you get the same amount of karma that the person who made the mistake. And you talk about it, and it happened to be that the person didn't make the mistake, then you get twice as much as karma. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.